So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Welcome, everybody, to the Catchy Lefty podcast. We are so glad that you've decided to join us today. Today, we're going to be talking about Lent 3 for Year C. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 55. My name is Jonathan Spring, and I'm joined by my friend, Miss Jen Chapman. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good. How have you enjoyed the Lent series stuff so far? How has it been handled at your church?
I love it. You know, we are just one Sunday in, and I introduced Dead Weight this last Sunday. And I like it. I think it's a really good theme, a good analogy to understand how these things in our life tend to weigh us down and how they not only keep us from experiencing like the freedom and joy that God wants for our lives, but it also keeps us from doing the good in the world that God wants us to do.
Absolutely. That's a lot of fun. And, we're doing the system failure, version, and it's very similar, except that we're talking about the way that the systems in our culture hold us back and the way that we can resist the systems. We can resist the way that the culture is training us to live and have like this actual like counterculture within the church that is teaching us these practices that the church teaches us to resist the systems of our world around us. So it's been a lot of fun. Like this past week, we talked about food and how we resist, like just the kind of think about food more theologically, which is really hard. I think difficult for people to grasp, but it seemed like they really resonated with it. We showed a video of one of our friends that's started a organic meat farm. And so he's got chickens and pigs, and he's going to have cows eventually and goats, I think. And so it's not our lambs, sheep. So he talked about like, you know, how, you know, the normal way that food is, it comes to our table from the grocery store, and how we can, it's better to know where our food came from and research that, even if we're buying grocery stores, like research where that food comes from. So we're trying to give them practical steps in how to resist these systems that are broken in our society. So it's a lot of fun. Again, it's a little slightly different, but it's cool that they're working together in that we're always talking like Lent. It always talks about how we resist the things that hold us back, or how we overcome the things that have brought us down to live into life. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to read through Isaiah 55. And so Jen, would you mind reading it?
Isaiah 55, 1-9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
What are some of your initial things that jump out at you? I've got something that jumped out at me, but what jumps out at you right off the bat?
The first thing is just this whole idea about spending our money on things that do not satisfy, and your labor on things that don't satisfy. I mean, this is just American culture, you know, to a T. This is what we do. You know, we are constantly spending our money and our time and our energy and on things that actually do not satisfy us, bring us true joy, or make our lives or the world a better place. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on. And we're going to talk about addictions as kind of the dead weight in this passage. But I have to, you have to be careful with that, because if somebody doesn't automatically know that they have like a drug addiction or a smoking addiction or alcohol addiction, then they kind of can just check out. But I also want to bring in just kind of this idea of pleasure seeking in whatever that is for you, and, you know, different kinds of addictions that we may not really think about as addictions. And I don't mean coffee. I mean, like, maybe somebody has an addiction to shopping, to retail, you know. There's all kinds of things that we kind of seek after to fill us that don't really ever satisfy. Choosing things that numb the pain in our lives instead of things that are life bringing.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I, when I've been through programs like Celebrate Recovery and accountability groups and things like that. And one of the things that Celebrate Recovery tries to point out is that, you know, we've relegated these types of support groups, to those with chemical addictions, drugs, alcohol, you know, things like that. But there's so much more that we're addicted to as humans. Those things that we continue to try and find life from. One thing that comes to mind is relationships.
You know,
people that can't live without being in, and I'm saying the bad relationships, right? Bad, like addicted to like that, like just going from one partner to the next, you know, those types of addiction. I think approval addiction is one that I struggle with, where I, if the only way that I am satisfied and the only way I feel worth is if I'm getting attaboys, you know, if after I do something and I get, you know, somebody says, well, good job, you know. So I think there's so much more. And I think that's part of the task that you'll have of trying to point out that, hey, this isn't just about these types of addictions that we normally talk about, but there are other things that we're addicted to that that hold us back. And when we continue to try to seek other people's approval, we could be living in a way that's not pleasing to God and not bringing life into our lives, you know? So that's definitely, that's great.
And it might be that the key to this is helping people think about in their daily lives, like just their everyday normal life, what is it that you are seeking after? What's driving you? What is getting you going? What is making you make like the choices that you are constantly making each day? What is it that you are after? And is that truly something that satisfies and brings God's good?
One of the things that, you know, it's interesting that you came to that same conclusion when talking about the way that that we're addicted to the thing, like seeking after things and spending our money on things that don't satisfy. In our system failure series, you know, consumerism is actually lent for, but JR, initially we had planned on doing kind of like a setup week this week because the scripture does seem like it's speaking directly to some of that, and, you know, going to the, you know, market and buying all this stuff. And so it was seemed like a setup for consumerism. And then after he got into it, he actually kind of took a different angle on it, and is going more along the lines of hospitality. So if you think about where the Israelites were in their life, they were in Babylon. The empire had crushed them. It had gutted their culture, deported all the majority of their political, religious, and social leaders to Babylon. And so they're in this foreign land. They're living in a foreign country. They've been forcibly relocated, and they're surrounded by their enemies. They're surrounded by people that are other. And the culture around them doesn't make sense. It believes the wrong things. It has weird customs. It has strange behaviors. But what God says is, give them drink. If you have no money, come take your wine and your milk. And he talks about the idea that that those things were sold in the bazaar, and the only thing that you gave people was family. And so it's, in a way, God is treating these foreigners and treating these enemies as family. And so we're going at the idea of hospitality, that, you know, kind of the idea of the front porch used to be the place where it was kind of home, but it was also public. you know, so it was this place where you said hi to people and you kind of lived in public, but you're also home. And so it kind of blurred the lines between us and them. And now that we've gotten big backyards and we've gotten rid of front porches, we're really suspect of the other. We're suspect of them. And so there's a sense where we've lost that sense of togetherness. And so we're going to, that's kind of the angle that we're going to be preaching this passage from. The idea that when God is calling them and giving them all this stuff and saying, give them water, give them drink, you know, that this is actually God's opening his arms to the other, the enemy, the foreigner, the person that's actually holding the Israelites in captive. So who is it in our life that we see as other? Who do we see as them? And then what are steps that we can take to make sure that we're being hospitable, that we're showing love the way that God shows love? So that's kind of the angle that we're going with it.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
One of the things that jumped out at me is, you know, just as you were reading it this last time, is this often quoted phrase, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, but for me, like I see that quoted so many times when talking about things other than what this passage is talking about,
right?
Which we call that, you know, out of context. And so how does that verse relate to the other verses in the passage? How do we kind of, because there could probably be some space here to do some corrective teaching that, you know, what he's actually calling them to is not something that we would normally use that phrase for. Does that make sense? How does that hit you?
Yeah, sure. You know, I was thinking just as you were talking about the hospitality aspect, you know, all of this about you shall call nations that you do not know, nations that you don't know shall run to you because of the Lord, for he's glorified you. So this idea that, you know, we're used to sticking to our own and taking care of ours and all of that, and maybe seeking after the things that we want. But God is basically like turning it inside out and saying, no, all these foreigners, all these people from other places, they're going to come to you because they are going to see me, God, glorified through you. And so, kind of this radical idea that when we seek after the things that God desires, not only do we become satisfied ourselves, but then we become people who give these life-bringing, satisfying, good things to all the people around us. Mm-hmm. And that whole idea, that idea of welcoming the foreigners, people who are totally different culturally from other nations, hey, maybe even from other religions, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But for all of those people to be able to be satisfied by the things that God has given us is totally out of our way of thinking.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I mentioned before, the way that I've always seen this passage, you know, taught is, or at least not taught necessarily, but spoken about in conversations is always about having something to do with, you know, something bad went down and your life is in shambles. Well, you know, our ways are not God's ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So he's got a plan.
Right.
And I think, you know, when we kind of take these passages out of context and we could miss, you know, I just bring that up because there's a sense where when we preach this passage, wanting to make sure that we recognize that our people are going to hear that when they hear this passage, even though it has nothing to do with the passage. So being sure that we point that out. And like you said, Jim, like, you know, what God is saying, that his ways are higher than yours, is he's welcoming of people, of all people, and he's calling all people to him. He's not pushing them away. He's not holding them at arm's length. He's saying, welcome them. If they're hungry, if they're thirsty, like bring them in, you know, give them all that you have. That's what we're supposed to be doing with people. And so, yeah, those ways aren't our ways, because we just look around our world and we see that that's not the way that we operate. We operate, out of fear. We operate out of trying to say it's for safety. And so we end up being inhospitable. We end up being, it ends up holding us back from actually living into the love that God has called us to live. That's I just can imagine someone leaving this message and saying, yeah, you know, like, I really like that message because of this thing that wasn't actually there. So, right. You know, I just think about, you know, putting yourself in the Israelite shoes and what they must have been going through, what they must have been feeling in exile. You know, we talk a lot about exile. I think we talked a lot about it in Advent this year because we were using Old Testament passages. And so it's all this hope for the future. And again, in Lent, we're back to kind of looking at the hope for the future. This time for us, of course, it's the hope of Easter. It's the hope of a Messiah that's going to come, and a Messiah that's going to come again. But I think we always, I think there's many people in our congregations that are going to feel in an exile, whether it's an exile of their world, that they feel like the whole world is against them, that they know these systems really well, or if it's like these personal exiles and these personal things that people are clinging to and holding on to that's holding them back. You know, I think this whole idea of exile is something that is very, very relatable. It's a reason I think that the Jewish people have talked about it in these terms for so long, is that we feel that it's something very real. That can relate to no matter where you're, whatever, what kind of why you're in exile. I think we can all relate to exile.
So much of the story of the Israelites is just like this macro version of everyone's micro life. You know, mm-hmm. We go through periods of slavery. We go through periods of freedom. We go through periods of exile, of, you know, wandering. There's all these things that we, both as individuals and as families and as churches, experience. And so I think that we can always relate to it and to some degree or another.
Yeah.
I also think it works really well with addictions because, you know, usually when someone's struggling with an addiction, there's things just aren't right in life. You know, it's not like it should be, whether it's because bad things happened in their past, or maybe they have some mental illnesses that they're struggling with, or maybe they've experienced some form of loss in their life, or they've moved to a new place and they don't know anyone. They don't have that like social community that's building them up, whatever it is, for some reason, things just aren't right. And rather than seeking the things that satisfy, because that's hard, you know, rebuilding your life, we tend to seek the things that give us immediate pleasure, but end up causing long-term pain.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us today at the Ketchy Lechty podcast. I'm Jennifer Chapman, and I pastor Nexus Community Church of the Nazarene in Dallas, Texas. You can find us on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/NexusDallas, NEXUS. And Jonathan, where can we find you?
Yeah, I'm a pastor over at Catalyst Church in Rowlett, Texas. And you can find us at catrow.org, CATROW.org. We post all of our sermons there. And you can find me at I Am Spraying on Facebook and Twitter.
And of course, you can always find all our Ketchy Lechty graphics and downloads and podcasts like this one at ketchylechty.com. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to be with you again soon. Grace and peace.